This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans? Or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a foreign film experience, a poetic farewell to a local art gallery, or a carnival ball with a unique cinematic feel, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. It's the next best thing to being in the City of Lights. The 22nd New Orleans French Film Festival opens this week with a large selection of feature-length films and live music performances. The Britannia Theater is ground zero for Francophiles in this unique experience presented by the New Orleans Film Society. Executive Director Fallon Young is with us. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It seems like it was just a few months ago when we were discussing another film festival.
Yes, the New Orleans Film Festival each October is our biggest endeavor, but the French Film Festival is beloved by Francophiles in New Orleans.
So tell us, how are we embracing our cinematic French connection this year?
Well, we actually have films from 12 different French-speaking countries, including France, of course, Belgium, Canada, Haiti, and even South Korea. 17 feature-length films and 3 short films are part of the lineup this year.
So you're taking us all around the French-speaking globe.
Yes, we are. But don't worry, if your French, like mine, is a little out of practice, everything has English subtitles.
So tell us, how are the films chosen for this event?
They're chosen by our artistic director and artistic director emeritus, who are both big fans of French cinema. They attend French festivals, they do research online, they connect with directors and make relationships, and then they choose the best in contemporary and classic French cinema for our eyes to feast on each year.
So what are some of the highlights from this year's diverse offerings?
Well, we actually have 5 attending directors, the most this festival has had, because often travel is a challenge, given that these directors are coming in from so far away. Celebrated documentary director Claire Simone is part of the festival this year, as well as Anthony Cordier will be at our opening night screening Gaspard at the Wedding.
Tell us a little bit more about that film.
Gaspard has a lot of levity, which is fitting for opening night. You know, you always want to start with something really exciting to get the crowd fired up for the festival to come.
C'est Laurent.
Bonjour. Il y a un caribou qui vient de naître. Il a 2 têtes. Tu le vois?
Gaspard at the Wedding is about a young man who has been avoiding his family's zoo for many years, and he gets invited to a wedding, and it's sort of a forced family reunion, and he takes basically a stranger, and it's about what ensues around this reuniting with his family.
And there's one called Custody.
Yes, Custody is a gripping family drama by Xavier Legrand, and it won a Silver Lion at Venice. I haven't seen the film yet personally. I'm very excited to see it, but someone whose opinions I trust very much said it was the most gripping film that she saw last year. It has haunted and stayed with her. I think anyone who likes a deep family drama might enjoy this film.
And there is a film of local interest.
Oh, yes. We're very excited to world premiere Au Vent Continue, which is a film about the Grammy Award-winning band Lost Bayou Ramblers.
Wow.
This documentary follows the band through their musical journey. The band will play with the film at the French Film Festival. There's actually a lot of music in conjunction with films at our French Film Festival. And it's directed by Bruno Doria, who's a local cinematographer and director, and produced by Lizzie Gautreau, who is actually part of our producer's lab this year.
Now, speaking of music, the festival has also partnered with the Cru de Carnaval.
So Cru de Carnaval is interested in connecting New Orleans to our Haitian roots. So there are some films in the festival that connect to Haiti, and they've helped us select 4 musicians who play French-inspired or French-rooted Zydeco music and Haitian music. Among those are master drummer Damas Fanfan Luis, cellist Sabrina McCalla, Bruce Senpai Barnes, and Paul Bobrin.
And your closing film is nonfiction?
Yes, nonfiction is our closing film, but it is a work of fiction. This is actually the second year in a row we have closed with a work by Olivier Assayas. It's a narrative feature, but it's called nonfiction. So it's not a documentary. It actually is a narrative feature, and it's about sex, lies, and literature. The film is about what happens when a controversial writer uses his real life in his stories.
Wow, it sounds exciting. Now, will festival goers get a chance to rub elbows with the director?
Yes. Celebrated director Claire Simone, Anthony Cordier, opening night director, Samara Grace Chadwick, who offers a documentary called 1999, Bruno Maurier, who's an anthropological director, who's also offering a documentary that was partially shot here in Louisiana, and Bruno Doria, the director of Avant Continue about the Lost Bayou Ramblers.
What will stick with viewers long after this French trip around the globe?
I think just the breadth of the French cinema offerings this year. They're from different countries. There's narrative film, there's documentary film, there's a range of perspectives from directors like Jean-Luc Godard, who've had decades-long careers, and emerging directors like Samara Grace Chadwick. I think you get a real lens onto what's happening in contemporary French cinema.
Fallon Young, Executive Director of the New Orleans Film Society. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Or I guess I should say au revoir.
Au revoir.
You will cry. You will never want to leave. It's an event not to miss.
The 22nd New Orleans French Film Festival runs February 15th through 21st at the Britannia Theater. More info is online at neworleansfilmsociety.org. After a six-year adventure in the Arts District, Boyd Satellite Gallery is closing its doors on Julia Street. The gallery will no longer exist as a physical location, but instead will have a presence online. Its final exhibit, Number 9 Dream, pays homage to John Lennon and is on view through the end of the month. Owners, Jeanette Bone, a former president of the Arts District New Orleans, and painter, Blake Boyd, are here. Welcome back.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you.
You know, I was saddened to hear the news about Boyd Satellite Gallery. Why have you decided to shutter the exhibit space?
We set out with a five-year plan to bring some new exhibits and do some different things on Julia Street in New Orleans. We feel we've fulfilled the program that we set out to fulfill. And, of course, running a gallery is a full-time job, and Blake hasn't had an exhibition now since 2014 and needs to get back to painting. And I've probably got a lot of things I need to catch up with, too.
As George Harrison said, all things must pass.
So take us back to the beginning of your journey and tell us how you opened the gallery in the Arts District.
We opened with a show called Megalomania, which was all portraits of Blake that he had been preparing over a two-year period for another gallery exhibition. And it seemed the perfect way to open the gallery. It sort of set the tone that it was a completely unexpected, almost self-indulgent thing to do. And it left people wondering what we were going to be doing as a gallery. But right from the beginning, it wasn't about Blake's work. It was about other people's work. And so we've shown many different artists and introduced international artists to New Orleans and hopefully nurtured some of the younger, more diverse population of New Orleans artists. And the Megalomania was such a popular exhibition. This year, we've concluded with Megalomania, all portraits of the president by 37 different artists. So it was quite an entertaining show as our penultimate show. So we kind of ended in a similar way to how we came in, but our final show is more poetic.
What have been some of your proudest moments?
One of the most beautiful and well-received and most meaningful shows that we did was in conjunction with Prospect 4. It was an homage to Blake's dear friend, Jeffrey Cook.
We had Polaroids from Andre Serrano. We had the last living show of Billy Name, who was Andy Warhol's photographer. And then Taylor Mead, who was an Andy Warhol actor, but well beyond Warhol. He was a poet, the end of the Beat Poets. He was supposed to have a show with us, White Linen Night, our first year, and unfortunately he died before that happened. He had lived here in the 50s and wanted to come back and actually use the gallery as performance art, where he painted for a month. So I think that would have been a really great exhibition. It ended up being a memorial show a few years later.
Your final exhibit is called Number 9 Dream. How did you come to the title?
The work is photographs from May Pang's collection, who was the girlfriend of John Lennon, early 70s, I think 73 to 75, they were together. It's when John and Yoko had split up. And the title actually came from Jeanette. We were struggling with what to call it. I wanted to title the show Just Like Starting Over, which was off the Double Fantasy album with Yoko. Yeah. And Jeanette pointed out that May might take that the wrong way, that it was with, you know, after they were back together. So I agreed. And then Jeanette said, you know, we should call it Number 9 Dream. And
it's a beautiful song.
And poetic title to end the gallery with.
Tell us about the works and why they are important to you.
I grew up near Liverpool. We're both Beatles fans, and specifically John Lennon, George Harrison. And we had got to know May Pang, who lives in New York. So it just seemed a lovely opportunity to show her work. And it linked in very well with the subject matter of Blake's paintings over the years. And, of course, it's the Disney characters that he places in semi-autobiographical work.
Now, there's a Disney connection in your paintings, Blake, and also in the photographs by May Pang.
Yes. This show with May's work was the documentation of the breakup of the Beatles. The Beatles formally broke up in 1974 with the signing of the papers at Walt Disney World, which is...
By John Lennon. He was the one who had not completely signed off.
And May was the only person to take a photograph of the actual final breakup of the Beatles. So it was poetic to me that we did this show. It was a collaborative event with other artists being at the gallery. And so it was kind of like me being in a band and there's the breakup of the band.
What will we see?
She's got a photograph from her trip to Disneyland. It's a portrait of John at Disneyland in 73. And then from the trip that the Beatles broke up, where John signed the papers, there's a photograph of Julian, who wanted to ride the Mad Teacup ride, and another portrait of John. He's in a crowd, and he said, "I love being in a crowd. Nobody knows who I am. They're going to their different rides, and I can just walk around." The piece is titled Invisible, and it's just John walking, floating off into the crowd.
She took a lot of pictures.
There were so many that they made a book, Instamatic Karma, which is a reference to Instant Karma, John's song.
And your paintings, what will we see?
My paintings are semi-autobiographical works where I've placed a lot of Disney characters in situations that are personal to me. A lot of symbolism. It's just my life taken from my journals.
There is a very, very large diptych, which is, I don't know, 13 feet by 9 feet or more, that fills up one of the longest walls in the gallery that has never been seen together before. It's Alice with a blindfold reaching for Pinocchio, and that is really beautiful.
It's been shown in galleries separate, but this is the first time I've actually seen the piece together.
What do you see for your futures and for the online presence of the gallery?
The online presence of the gallery has been dismal while we were running the gallery, so I'm hoping that I can develop that to be a much stronger presence. We have documented every show professionally, and we will probably put together some publications that talk about the gallery and what it has achieved over the last 6 years.
I think it's been a great experience for Jeanette and I. One of our biggest joys was getting to promote young artists. We'll continue to promote young artists and help guide people, especially the people we've had interactions with.
Well, you will certainly be missed.
Thank you, Diane.
Boyd Satellite Gallery owners, Jeanette Bone and Blake Boyd, thanks so much for 6 beautiful years on Julia Street.
And thank you so much for your support too, Diane.
Exhibit number 9, Dream, featuring photographs by May Pang and paintings by Blake Boyd, will be on view at Boyd Satellite Gallery, 440 Julia Street, through February 28th. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Airlift New Orleans kicks off a new season in the Music Box Village, opening Valentine's Day with a cinematic experience featuring Casa Samba and members of the Northside Skull and Bone Gang performing at its Black Orpheus Mardi Gras Ball. Producer Leah Hennessy and co-director Jay Pennington are here. Welcome.
Hi, Dan. Nice to see you.
You have an exciting lineup, beginning with your 3rd annual Mardi Gras Ball, where you open on Valentine's Day with a romantic tragedy. Tell me more.
Well, as we went into planning for this year's Mardi Gras Ball, we found, okay, we're doing Valentine's Day. How can we have these overlapping holidays or festivities? And Black Orpheus is a perfect way to do that. It's such a stunning film, won all kinds of awards when it came out in 1959, and tells the story of Orpheus and Eurydice, classic Greek myth, set amidst Brazilian carnival. And it's very vibrant, lots of incredible music on the soundtrack, which Casa Samba is going to help us bring to life in the Music Box.
So tell us a little bit more about how this evening is going to unfold.
Northside Skull and Bone Gang and one of their principal members, Sun Pie Barnes, is a board member at Airlift, but also just a really good friend of ours. And so we're going to have them out sort of dragging the chains and getting the energy going, much like they do on Mardi Gras morning, as many people are familiar with, having them drag past their house. And then we're bringing in, I'd say, in-film performance elements with Casa Samba. So we're bringing the full Casa Samba band. It's going to be up to maybe 14 people, dancers, actors, musicians, capoeira dancers as well. And so a lot of the elements of the film are going to kind of break out around the audience. If you've ever been to the Music Box Village before, it's a unique place, kind of an in-the-round theater where everything happens all around you. So expect the film to come to life in close proximity to where you're sitting. Think of it as a little bit of live scoring, but more like in-film live performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you come to the show, you will be seeing traditional Brazilian instruments, and those might be percussive. They might be something like the berimbau, which has got a string element to it, but also kind of percussive at its core. So I think that'll be a fun twist for people coming to the event on Thursday night, is really getting a little bit of that authenticity. Another way we're going to be bringing it to life is through food. Having a dinner in the village, Brown Girl Kitchen is putting together a menu that'll have Brazilian cheese bread, curries, and pineapple upside down cake. Mm-hmm. So folks wanting to have their date night will be able to have dinner under the stars in the Music Box Village.
And the rest of the season. This is the kickoff. What else can we look forward to?
I'm really excited about what we're doing this season. We're going to take some chances. We're going to try some things that are not just in the Music Box Village. One of the first things we're doing in March is working with a really wonderful artist that we love dearly as a personal friend in the New Orleans Airlift family. Kelly Love Jones and her partner Lakiba are bringing us this very unique performance that they've been sort of workshopping in their own home. That's a musical performance, fundamentally, that is entirely in the dark. It involves a sort of like imagined world that is kind of easier to access without any visual stimuli. It's something story-based that's been brewing in Kelly's mind for a long time, and we're going to bring it to the Art Club, which is over on Art Street in the 8th Ward. Think of it as a twofold event that starts with a performance in total darkness and then ends with a dinner and some conversation around the performance itself. And then we're moving on to more stuff throughout the season that I think Leah could probably speak to.
Yeah, we are doing an original work by a Creole composer, Bernard Pierce, that tells the story of how bees crown a new queen in the hive. It's the actual way that bees do it, which is very cutthroat and also a little bit like American Idol. Bees sing songs. Who knew? Mm-hmm. And so we're taking that story as the basis for a new narrative that'll feature a bunch of incredible local talent. And we've got an amazing Jazz Fest lineup that we've put together. I think we'll be doing 3 or 4 shows during Jazz Fest, some more focused on experimental music and avant-garde, and then some things that are more jazz funk offerings. There's a little bit of something for everybody, and certainly all the folks that'll be coming during Jazz Fest's 50th year.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds very exciting.
Should be.
New Orleans Airlift producer Leah Hennessy and co-director Jay Pennington, thanks so much.
Thank you.
New Orleans Airlift presents its Black Orpheus Mardi Gras Ball with Casa Samba and the Northside Skull and Bone Gang Thursday, February 14th, Valentine's Day, in the Music Box Village, 4557 North Rampart Street, beginning at 6:30 p.m. More info is online at musicboxvillage.com. That's our show for this week. Major support for Inside the Arts comes from the Hellas Foundation. Additional support comes from Christwood Retirement Community, the Contemporary Arts Center, and the New Orleans Opera Association. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at wwno.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45 when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.